Because of the Labor Day holiday, the city council meeting that would have been last night is pushed to Tuesday night. And so that means that we're pleased and happy and honored that the mayor has come in to talk about the city's business and especially the city council meeting. Mayor Brian Treese, it's good to see you. How are you?
David, good morning.
Well, let's jump in and talk about roundabouts. I would like to start, though, first of all, with a few meetings ago, you were talking about the roundabout that is proposed for Fairview and Chapel Hill.
That's right.
Now, I've looked at one of the amendments that is dated August 26, because tonight also, something that you also have to do in the next, well, I think you do it probably mid-September. Don't you approve the budget?
At our second meeting in September.
So this is another public hearing on the budget.
Right.
One of the things that you've done is you have, and this says Mayor Treese, so I think you have proposed these amendments. One of them is to a capital project change, Fairview and Chapel Hill intersection improvements, move the construction of that project to fiscal year 2024.
Right. And you know, just as a preface here, I think if anybody was listening from out of town on today's radio station or you know, throughout the last year, they must think the only thing we talk about is roundabouts in Columbia, Missouri. Uh-huh. And so what I did, you know, back in August or July, when we had that first hearing on the roundabout in on Chapel Hill and Fairview, there was such an outpouring of neighborhood opposition to that. I said, let's take the money that we had earmarked for that improvement that, albeit would have benefited a few people in that neighborhood who use that intersection, and use it for a more widespread community benefit like street maintenance. And so by doing that, we were able to convert that roundabout money, that capital improvement money, to capital improvement street maintenance dollars. That in turn liberated some ongoing operations budget that we can dedicate to the police department. So by converting that roundabout money to street maintenance, we were able to free up enough funding for about 3.5 to 4 police officers in next year's budget.
Good. Thank you. And that's what I was going to say. Reallocated for police for 1 year. Here's my question about this. This is an amendment sheet. It hasn't been approved yet. But I mean, this is what is a proposed change to what would have been a part of the proposed amendment.
Correct.
I mean, the proposed concept.
That's right. And there's budget. A lot of opportunities for input on the city's budget. We had the introduction of that budget where we had a hearing on it at our last meeting. We had a Saturday work session that went from 8:30 in the morning until about 5 o'clock that afternoon, where we took public comment, and we'll have public comment again tonight on all of those budgets, and then and amendments, and then vote on it in 2 weeks.
All right, and you know why I probably brought this up. Then my question is going to be: if you do that at Fairview and Chapel Hill, what is the outlook for Green Meadows and Forum?
I'm not really sure, and frankly, I'm fairly agnostic about roundabouts. I've been kind of going out of my way to drive through that intersection at various times throughout the day. And, you know, it's a little slow around 5 o'clock, as it is on Providence Road and Stadium around 5 o'clock. And, you know, like with most traffic problems in Columbia, Missouri, it's all relative. It's a problem about 15 minutes twice a day, 9 months a year. So is there a real safety issue? I know there's been about 13 accidents there in the last 10 years. I know the traffic count is about 14,000 cars a day. They're not all going through there at the same time. There's a bit of a you know, bumper to bumper, you know, right at 5 o'clock when I went through there one day last week. But I'm anxious to hear the community testimony, and I've had a couple emails in favor, and I've had a majority of emails in opposition to it. So, you know, I do think it's a little interesting to have it be one of our first double lane roundabouts, and, you know, taking 4 lanes to 2 to 4. You know, maybe that works. I'm curious how much geography, how much land is required to do that effectively. I've seen the schematics on it. But again, I want to hear from the preschool on the corner. I want to hear from some of the neighbors in that neighborhood to see, is this something they really want? Is it something they really need? And, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, well, you could also help fund police officers for the next, in years 2 and 3, by using some of that money for more, you know, community spread, community-wide improvement.
Mayor Brian Treese is here. Our phone number is 442-8255. Phones are open. He's here until the top of the hour. Don't wait until 2 minutes till and then call. Several things on this issue is interesting, because I was having a conversation with someone very close to me, and I said this issue is coming up at the city council meeting, and they understood some of what was going to be discussed and wanted some more details. And I said, well, you could look at it this way, that the roundabout at Forum and Green Meadows is because I saw one study. I've got the information pulled up here. I don't see it right now on this. I see the numbers you're talking about. Between 4:45 and 5:45 p.m., 1,754 vehicles passed through the intersection, and it tells which direction they were going. And by far, as people would guess, if they know that, it's south. People heading south on Forum, and then people heading north, and then people heading west on Green Meadows. Those would be the three directions in that order as to the most traffic coming. And I saw a story, I think, over the weekend that said people were having to wait on average 45 seconds. So the comment from the person I was talking to, oh, so in other words, we're going to spend $1 million to save people 45 seconds. And I said, well, that's one way to look at it. But, you know, I'm not advocating one way or the other because I don't know. I like roundabouts. I do like roundabouts, and I think that they move us well. But I think this location of this one really adds a different complexion to this particular question.
It does, and I think it really is going to enhance that Green Meadows traffic. I think you're going to see a lot more people using Green Meadows from all the way from Nifong, Grindstone.
So they wouldn't, right? I see what you're saying, so it would take traffic away from the Nifong area.
Correct. And again, it's all relative. I mean, 45 seconds.
It doesn't seem like much. And 13 accidents is not a lot. But it's not the accidents that aggravate people there. It is the, I have to stop, I have to take my turn, and I have to wait, you know, 45 seconds, 30 to 45 seconds. And that is seemed to be something that people want to pass through where they feel like they're still moving. My question as far as the cost is concerned, originally this was going to be around a $600,000 project. I believe the cost up now a little over $900,000.
It's gone up about 50% again.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, I think that has to, you know, I want to make sure that the council is making wise use of precious resources here, and especially when it comes to capital improvements like that, that, you know, we're evaluating all of the options on that list to make sure that it's something that people want. If people don't want it, let's not spend $1 million to do it.
Forecast for traffic to go through there. I think they study sometimes how much is it going to grow. And say, I wonder how much it would persuade the argument by saying, all right, now that looks kind of like a minimum impact if you're saving people some time, an hour a day. But what are you looking at 5, 10, 15 years down the road? Is it going to carry a lot more traffic?
It probably does, but also in the next 5 to 10 years, hopefully Nifong and Vauder School Road and all of that is four lane as well. I mean, that's on the docket as well to be improved. And again, you know, we kind of have a chicken and egg problem here that, you know, do we have this infrastructure in place before development occurs, or do we wait and see where development happens and then, you know, improve the infrastructure, you know, at in this case, some cost to the neighborhood? I also, you know, we need to look at pedestrian safety there. We've got a preschool there, a lot of pickup drop-offs right there. You've got the country club villas that, you know, have a older demographic, I would guess. And, you know, and then kind of a young family neighborhood on the east side of that. I'm anxious to hear all the testimony tonight, and I'm not persuaded either way at this point.
So you don't have an idea how you're going to, what you're... your feeling would be as far as handling this.
If there's significant opposition to it, I'm not inclined to spend, you know, 50% as much more as we had budgeted for this on a project that, you know, we have other projects we could dedicate this funding to.
On the agenda, there is a petition that is part of the exhibit, mm-hmm. and it shows, I mean, it's a long petition of many people who said they do not want that. How does that weigh into what you'll hear as public comments today?
It's persuasive. You know, just like the emails I get, I usually dump, you know, all of my roundabout related emails into, you know, a file folder, and I'll look at them again today before I go into that meeting and kind of count up who's in favor of it, who's against it, and, you know, what are the compelling arguments on both sides of it. And then, of course, we'll have public comment tonight. And, you know, we got a lot of the flavor of this, not necessarily pro or anti roundabout, but, you know, do we really need this on that Chapel Hill Fairview project? And we even got some of these neighbors testifying on that as well. And again, it may be worth the investment to keep traffic moving there. I just want to see what the neighborhood.
Sure, changes the neighborhood's complexion, though. I mean, there's something about a roundabout that makes it different than a four-way stop. A four-way stop seems,
quaint.
In my opinion, quaint and neighborhood friendlier,
yeah,
than a roundabout.
It really does. And, you know, that certainly weighed on me at Fairview and Chapel Hill. And again, that was on an incline. You'd have cars stopping there. I mean, that was a different feel. But But that did concern me that we were really changing the complexion of that mostly all residential neighborhood right there. And I'm not sure there's much difference with the Green Meadows form.
Let me ask one more question that I would connect to both of what we're talking about, those two roundabout situations. Prior to becoming mayor, did you have a feel for changing what had been budgeted? In other words, when we pass something in 2015 by a vote and say, these are the projects that we would like to see funded, and then post-passing that vote, did you have an overall gut feeling about whether it was appropriate or not to change what was on that list of projects?
I'm still trying to get my arms around how those projects even get on the list, frankly. And, you know, I lived through the Providence Road Improvement Project where, you know, that was put on a ballot. All the neighborhood wanted was a stoplight. And we go through all this public improvement process hearing and, you know, when all we really wanted was a stoplight ends up being adding lanes and tearing down houses and doing all this. And I want to make sure, you know, it's interesting, too, that the city is quick to say, these are the list of projects that we propose to fund with this ballot issue. But they're not guarantees. They're not promises. Until we choose not to fund them, then we're breaking the promise to voters. And so I think there's a fine line there in terms of how we represent that. I think it's I think there is a fundamental obligation for elected officials to show how we plan to use money on a proposed tax increase. I think we have to be very careful about how we apportion that and make sure that we still allow sufficient public input on what those projects look like.
It is a hard question for a government or a staff to answer correctly, because people want to know up front, what are you going to spend the money on?
And you want some geographic diversity on there, so you make sure that every ward is getting a little bit.
So you vote on it, and then if you come back and say, we're going to forge ahead with this because it was on our list, then the complaint could be, well, but you're not listening. You're not listening to what really is important for this area. And if you say, well, okay, we're listening, so we'll change that, then you've got people who are going to say, wait a minute,
switch.
You said that that's what you're going to spend the money on. So it becomes a situation where, I listened to the Parks and Recreation Department, which has been very successful in doing something that they have been greatly complimented for doing, is saying, when we ask you to extend the sales tax, these are the projects. You can pretty much guarantee that in some form we will do this. And so they are applauded for that.
They are, and they do an excellent job at
that.
But also there's very little community opposition to a new shelter or a new baseball diamond or a trail extension, right? Or to keeping our parks maintained and well cared for. The opposite can be said for these types of capital improvements where costs go up. Priorities change. The final design doesn't really fit with what's there, and you know, does that mean we need to get more council consensus before we put these proposals on the ballot, or do we need to do more legwork to see if the projects are viable before we ask voters to approve them?
Mayor Brian Treese is here. Caller, thank you for your patience. Do you have a question or comment?
Earlier, you said that by eliminating one roundabout, you were able to reapportion funds to.
For police?
Get the policemen. And are you indicating that if this one did not pass, that would also occur?
It's a good question. It's a good question. And what this would allow, we have continuous funding to keep those four policemen funded. What this would allow us to do is continue to fund street maintenance at that same level in years 3 and 4, based on the $900,000 or $600,000 that voters have approved for that roundabout.
So not necessarily for police. I mean, you've done that with the
other. It wouldn't be new police officers. We can continue to fund those four new police officers. What it does allow us to do is extend our budget for street maintenance into the future.
Caller, your question or comment with Mayor Treese.
Yes, I think the roundabout on Green Meadows is much more needed because of the north-south cross-town traffic of non-residents because, you know, you have to go all the way to Scott or all the way to Providence to get north-south, where Fairview is more residential. I do cut through. We live west of Scott, but it's only a small part of the day, where north-south on Green Meadows and Forum is you have to go that way. You have to.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my suggestion.
All right. Well, thank you. She is pointing out, I think, a key point that some who are proponents of that roundabout at Forum and Green Meadows would say it's different than Fairview and
yep.
Chapel Hill.
And there's still a road there that, mm-hmm. that people can go through.
We're going to take a break. We'll come back and move on to other subjects in a moment. It's News Talk 1400 KFRU. Mayor Brian Treese is our guest, and we appreciate him taking time to visit with us ahead of tonight's city council meeting, which begins with the pre-council meeting. Anything on the pre-council meeting agenda we should be paying attention to?
It's going to be a closed session for personnel reasons.
Wow. Okay. But I mean, that's, you have these frequently, but is this a more intense closed session for personnel reasons than the usual? You're not going to tell me because it's closed and I don't have any business knowing that ahead of time, huh?
No, it's coming up on employee evaluation time of year. So we always try to do that before the budget.
All right. So that's tonight's pre-council meeting. Then one of the, you have, I think, as many public hearings tonight as I have seen, but many of these will be in quick fashion because I'm going to guess there are not going to be a lot of people talking about some of these. However, the second public hearing changes to the sanitary sewer utility rate, sanitary sewer utility connection fee, and hauled liquid waste rate. I try to follow because I really like what he knows about this stuff, Bill Weitkemper, and I think you probably have some comments on this.
Well,
you already have.
Yes, and I've been getting, and I value his input, and my mayor's infrastructure task force is also looking at those issues, and have a meeting with the Water and Light Advisory Board member this afternoon about some of their recommendations on it as well. What I did 2 weeks ago was open up all of those hearings, 10 items at the same time, so that someone could come up and spend their 3 minutes, hitting this page of this page of that, mm-hmm. and this page of that, and hopefully that'll be a little more efficient for everybody.
Let's move on to two more things. Yep. One is not something that's necessarily on the agenda, and that would be your medical tourism board that you have assigned. Maybe we should just go there right now.
Yeah.
What was the inspiration for this? How did this come to your attention?
Healthcare is such a huge part of Columbia's economy, and I really think that Columbia has an opportunity to optimize that patient experience in a way that helps attract new patients to come to Columbia. And so I've asked a representative of Boone Hospital, COO of MU Healthcare, Columbia Orthopedic Group, Mizzou Bio Joint Center, Ellis Fischel, I'll have someone from the VA on there as well, to really get together in the same room and challenge themselves to think like Mayo. The Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota doesn't really have anything on Columbia, Missouri. It's a town of 80,000 people in the middle of a cornfield. And as Jonathan Curtwright said at MU Healthcare, they just built a better mousetrap. They have created this Center for Healthcare Excellence that attracts complex care patients. And Columbia has the opportunity to do that too. Ellis Fischel now has an unprecedented partnership with MD Anderson. And they will be replicating the MD Anderson model of Houston, Texas, right here in Columbia, Missouri. The Mizzou Bio Joint Center already has 200 patients in the last year from 14 states and 3 countries that are flying here for that cutting-edge technology procedure.
Mm-hmm.
Columbia Orthopedic Group, of course, already attracts people from Sweet Springs to Wentzville and St. Joe to Rolla. And there are some things that we can do as a community to better market Columbia as that healthcare destination. It may be having a nurse on a shuttle at the airport. Mayo allows you to check into the hospital from the airport. I've also put 2 hoteliers on there. And if there's a way that we can, in real time, help hospital schedulers book vacant room rates at a medical discount for patients traveling here, things that we can help improve that patient experience, regardless of where they go for that care, to know that Columbia is a friendly place when it comes to your healthcare and high quality procedures.
Will there be additional support for whatever comes up beyond members on the board from the healthcare community?
I've had such a profound outpouring of people that want to participate on that. I've shared those names with the chairman of that committee, and I would expect part of their recommendations may be some working groups or subcommittees that help flesh some of this out. It may be just a culture change in terms of how all of our providers view not just the people in our community they care for, but how do we best market this region as a as a destination for those procedures.
So I'm glad you said region, because, you know, growing up in Missouri, it was a region. A lot of people that I knew from 60 miles away would come down to the university if they wanted some expert help, or maybe Boone County, but usually I think it was a university. But if I lived in Iowa, I would be going to the University of Iowa in Iowa City. If I lived someplace else, Bloomington, maybe I would go, wherever it might be. So is it realistic to think that we would have a larger impression in the medical field than just being this, well, they've got a medical school, it's got a good reputation. If I live in Mercer County, or if I live in wherever, Buffalo, Missouri, I'm going to come there for good treatment.
Right. And I think it's probably more likely today than it was even 5 or 6 years ago. I mean, there's a reason University of Kansas is advertising for patients in Columbia, Missouri. Mizzou Bio Joint Center is advertising on the airport shuttle at O'Hare in Chicago. The insurance is more portable now. Take TRICARE, for example, with our veterans, and I think we have a real opportunity to attract veterans to our VA here because of their oncology care and some of the partnerships that we have in that community. 50% of Mayo's patients come from over 120 miles away. And the further you are willing to travel to receive your medical care, typically the more complex your case is. And so being able to do that secondary and tertiary care at a high level here, I think, is going to in turn attract patients here, but they won't come if they don't know about it.
What will be next from this group? What would you expect to see? Something that you would say, here's a viable work from this group?
Well, these are all extremely busy professionals. Half of them on that task force are physicians that are both practicing surgeons, but also chief of staff or administrators of their own procedure. So I want them to make sure that they're operating efficiently, very short-term, very focused. I expect them to get together, you know, several times over the next 3 months and come together with some type of early recommendations, and then try to envelop that larger community in a way that that may be a healthcare summit. It may be some recommendations, you know, as we're building this airport terminal, are there improvements we can do there in terms of our public transportation and access? Are there shuttles that the hotels want to run to University of Missouri or Boone Hospital or Keene Street, that medical mile on Keene Street? In a way that we can all start working together, not just to improve the care for people that live in Columbia, but those that travel from out of town here.
Thank you again for being here. Have a productive meeting tonight.
My pleasure.